You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, it's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Wednesday, the 12th of February 2025. The Australian share market rose today. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.6% to 8,535. We'll have the details with Martin Lakos from Macquarie in a few moments. But first to the Commonwealth Bank, which posted a 2% rise in half-year cash profit to $5.1 billion. That's as its business and home lending books grew despite higher interest rates. For more on the bank's results and the direction for the economy, I spoke with CommBank CEO Matt Comyn. Matt, you're expecting an official interest rate cut next week, the first one since 2020. Why?
Well, we think that the overall picture, particularly just the softening economic backdrop as inflation, particularly the underlying inflation, has started to move back within the target band, we do think that will give scope for the RBA to be able to cut the cash rate. I think the market's pricing in a 95% chance of that. I don't think it's as clear-cut as that, but we do believe that that much-awaited rate relief will occur next week.
In the last rate-cutting cycle between 2015 to 2020, the RBA cut interest rates by 240 basis points, but CommBank only passed on 165 of that to its variable rate customers, and sometimes it took 21 days for that rate cut to reach those customers. This time around, are you able to commit to a faster pass-through of those rate cuts to customers and in full, whatever the RBA decides?
Ricardo, a couple of things. I think if over that period, there's obviously a very different circumstances around each of those different rate cuts. I think on average, it's usually about 10 days to implement. As you would expect, I won't pre-announce what interest rate decision we'll make following the RBA's decision because, of course, it will be contingent on that. But as you would expect, we're fully aware of how much Australian households are looking forward to rate relief.
Should customers be expecting interest rates to fall as fast as they rose?
I think customers should expect consistency around interest rate decisions for them to be appropriately implemented at the right period of time, and that's certainly one of the lenses that we'll be looking at.
So despite rising costs of living pressures, the Commonwealth Bank posted a $5.13 billion half-year profit. How are you balancing the needs of customers and that of your shareholders?
Yeah, we hear very clearly from households in particular, but sometimes businesses as well, about the ongoing pressures that they're feeling from particularly higher prices, with prices across the economy of 20% higher than they were 4 years ago. We're, of course, being very proactive in the context of providing support. So during the six-month period, we actually offered 65,000 tailored financial assistance packages, most of those short duration because customers only need help for a relatively short period of time. I mean, one of the things that we are aided by is the fact that Australia has very low levels of unemployment at only 4%. And then across the board, we had $144 billion of new lending to both households through home buying and to businesses. So we're continuing to support, provide economic growth, financial stability, but also personalised and tailored support for any customers who need assistance. As you said, against that strong profit growth, our strong volume growth, our profit was up 2% over the period, which we like to think is an appropriate balance. We also increased our investment by 11%. Importantly, in areas like scams, fraud, financial crime, cyber, more than $450 million there to protect our customers and help keep their money safe.
Investors now are looking to where the future growth for the company will come from, especially given what some analysts are calling lofty valuations of its share price. So where do you see that growth?
Well, our focus will be continue to be on supporting our customers both through the near term and over the long term, but across both our retail, business and institutional, primarily in Australia. But we do have a business in New Zealand. We have offices in different parts of the world. But again, to primarily support the Australian economy, we believe if we do a great job serving our customers, we continue to allocate capital through lending to productive areas to support Australia's economic growth, that will continue to lead to good growth, both for our customers, for the country, and in turn for our owners.
To what extent are you worried about global growth and global trade, given US moves to apply import tariffs? And to what extent can that impact your business?
Well, I think obviously Australia is part of a global economic picture. Our trading partners, particularly in China, but the rest of Asia, but really across the rest of the world, there are impacts, of course, in any deterioration in global growth. If there's changes, obviously, in trading conditions, in geopolitical risks, we watch and monitor all of those things closely, as you would expect. At the moment, we're not anticipating making any changes to any of our settings. But of course, you know, Australia is not immune from any of the forces overseas. We've seen that repeatedly, and the way that that can flow through to both the economy in terms of economic growth, but also prices. So, of course, our lens is primarily through Australia, but we're watching any global developments very closely, as I said.
How are you using or going to use generative AI to boost productivity and increase competitiveness?
Well, our primary interest in technology like AI and generative AI is, of course, improving the customer experience. One of the areas that we talked about in November last year was specifically in the area of scams and fraud, where we're seeing, obviously, a real escalation in the sophistication and volume of attacks right across Australia, where customers are also wanting to actually challenge a transaction that they may not recognise. We're trying to use generative AI to provide, you know, a real-time experience. In our business bank, one of the areas we've tried to make it more convenient and easier for customers to complete applications, you know, leveraging some of that technology, again, to improve the customer experience.
The federal election is imminent. Regardless of who wins, what do you think should be the number one issue the government should address from a national perspective?
I think always, you know, long-term economic growth. How do we make sure that we can continuously improve the living standards for Australians, both today and into the future? And there's a number of things that are important. We've got, obviously, wonderful natural resources, which will continue to be an important part of the growth picture. You've also got to think about what's the future economy and how do you drive productivity, which is the only way to sustainably lift real incomes and continue to improve living standards.
And just finally, and back on interest rates, economists at the Commonwealth Bank predicted back in August that the first rate cut from the RBA would come in February. So given there's been so much time to prepare, I just want some clarification as to what you can tell me about your commitment to pass on any rate cut next week in full to your customers.
Well, of course, we think through a number of things, including the RBA rate decision, and a 95% likelihood, you can reasonably expect that we've thought very carefully about exactly what we will do after the RBA decision. I'm simply saying we understand two things. One, how important rate relief is to households. And two, we're not able to actually signal or announce what we're going to do in the future. We can only talk about it when we're actually doing it or have done it.
That is Matt Common there from the Commonwealth Bank.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
CommBank shares hit a record today, climbing 2.3%. The overall market up 0.6% on the S&P ASX 200. For more, I spoke with Martin Lakos from Macquarie Private Wealth. Martin, what's driving market sentiment at the moment?
Well, there's absolutely no doubt it's overseas news, along with the company reporting season that we've got going on domestically. Clearly, the markets are finding it hard to make new headway, given the pronouncements coming out of the White House in regards to things like, obviously, tariffs. And, of course, we've got no clear direction on this, except potential intentions at this stage. And so we're finding that the US markets are sort of up and down, waiting really for some clearer direction. I guess to some extent also overnight, it didn't help that the commentary from the Federal Reserve's chair, Powell, was that basically they're going to remain patient, that although the inflation number has coming down towards their target, it's not there yet, and that the US economy is actually doing very well. It's quite strong, as he said in his own words. So I think they're basically going to continue to assess what's going on, and that would include assess the impact of tariffs, potentially the impact of any immigration issues. So do they start sending people out of the country, and that starts reducing the workforce and creates an additional skills shortage in the US, would obviously push some business costs up higher as well. So there's lots of moving parts for markets to really be navigating through.
Okay, this time next week in Australia, we'll hear from the Reserve Bank. Are you expecting a first rate cut since 2020?
Yeah, Macquarie is taking the view that we will see a cut next week of 25 basis points. Clearly, we've seen a slightly better number on the inflation side. The Reserve Bank's made it very clear what they see those pressures or inflation pressures are impacting, along with things like government spending. It's no longer really a global situation. Clearly, when you have inflation in Europe and in the United States almost heading towards target. What we have changed, however, is to see a change in the number of cuts we expect through this year, which from a Macquarie perspective is actually three. So I think there'll be 75 basis points of interest rate cuts. So next week, possibly in May and possibly in August of this year. And then the Reserve Bank is more likely to pause and to see what impacts there are on those rate cuts.
We talk about a few company-related stories now. The Commonwealth Bank's half-year cash profit, $5.1 billion. That's despite the rising cost of living. What do you make of it? How does the market respond?
Well, a good number, but pretty much in line with analysts' expectations. When we look up the makeup of that number, pretty strong revenues, which is good news, but costs were slightly higher and margins were slightly softer. I think there was a little good piece of news coming through, which might be somewhat reflective of what's going on in the broader economy, particularly for those who have been under, those households that have been under cost pressures. And it does look like that we've seen a fall off in the number of loans and relationships that the Commonwealth Bank needs to help to manage. So that's clearly good news. In other words, households are now finding it easier, or is in a slightly better position, should I say, to be managing the current cost situation. And to some extent, we can relate that to the fact that we've had an 18-month wages rise cycle, along with some tax cuts. So overall, household income is up, and we are seeing some signs of costs down. That's obviously going to be alleviated even further if Macquarie is right about the Reserve Bank cutting rates next week.
As you mentioned earlier, it's also about profit results at the moment. Any other profit numbers catch your attention today?
Well, AGL came out with its result today, which was slightly better than expected. A somewhat mixed result. The consumer side not doing so well, but the wholesale electricity segment did very well. And certainly they commented they expect electricity prices to be higher for longer, which is obviously that's their business, but not great news, obviously, for the likes, for households and for businesses paying those higher electricity prices. Certainly a solid result. They did give a slightly higher guidance for the full year by about $60 to $70 million. So obviously the operating environment is a reasonable position for AGL, and the stock price was slightly higher through the day's trading.
We are still in the early days of reporting season at the moment, but are there any themes that you've seen or anything that they've said about the economy?
Well, it's probably more looking what's going to come through this reporting season, Ricardo, which is more things about what are the guidance going forward. So we look at the ratio of upgrades versus downgrades. And typically, if you see a slightly better reporting season where there are more upgrades than downgrades, that's ultimately a pretty good result. And that's exactly what we had 6 months ago. So the reporting season has actually surprised slightly on the upside. Now, you always get some good results and you always get a mix or some bad results as well. But it's that guidance that's really, really important for us, because that's where analysts will decide to upgrade or downgrade. Equally so far anyway, we haven't had any significant negative commentary around the operating environment. And when you look, in fact, at the surveys on business confidence and business operating environment, they've actually been holding up. They haven't collapsed. They are slightly down, understandably so. So it does look like the businesses are coping, despite the fact that obviously business costs have been quite high the last 12 to 18 months or so.
And finally, where do you see the opportunities for investors at the moment?
Well, we are, you know, taking a more cautious approach as the market goes higher and higher, understandably so. But, you know, we've clearly got a lot of information coming through on individual companies through our reporting season. And overall, with the US economy as strong as it is, we would expect this reasonably positive earnings momentum to come through in the US, certainly for the next 6 months. But of course, it really does depend on the policy side and how quickly maybe some of these policies on things like tariffs and immigration and potentially tax cuts in the US actually get implemented. So we're taking a more cautionary stance for the second half of this year. But overall, we think markets can go higher through the first 6 months. But volatility is definitely going to be with us. And that volatility will be very much relevant to those news items that come out almost on a daily basis at the moment.
It's Martin Lakos there from Macquarie. Don't forget, if you enjoyed the podcast, to give it a rating and to click subscribe.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.